Mark chapter 12, verse 28 is where we're going to start. We're going to look specifically at Mark 12, 28 through 30. This will be a two-part message out of this passage, and the message is entitled His Great Commandments. This is part one today, and we are looking at verses 28 through 30. Let's read it, and I'll bow for a word of prayer. One of the scribes approached when he heard them debating and saw that Jesus answered them well. He asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" "This is the most important," Jesus answered. "Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." And we'll stop there. Heavenly Father, we ask you to open your word up to us today and be glorified in doing it. We ask you to help us to give you the honor you deserve as we not only open up our Bibles, but we bow ourselves to your word. We ask you to help us obey this. We ask you to make us understand it. We ask you to give us the wisdom to apply it. We ask you to show us where in our lives we may be falling short on this so that we can do what we can to get it right. Father, we even at the initial reading of this, we see the scope of what we're going to be talking about today. Loving you with everything that we are, our entire existence. And we are joyful at the word, but we also tremble at it, knowing exactly what it is telling us to do and how far short we all fall from it. We thank you for your grace, though, today that we depend on. We thank you that you are so patient with us as we do grow in our Lord, and we ask that today in His name. Amen. Okay, last Sunday we began our look at the God-centered life with a look at worship, the call to true worship, and we understand from Romans 11 and 12 that worship is not just a ceremony, it's a lifestyle. We understand that God has created everything for worship. He has created everything to be an offering back to Himself, and in light of that, Paul says in Romans 12 that we are to therefore consecrate ourselves to Him. We are to lay ourselves down not as a dead sacrifice, but as a living sacrifice. And that is our spiritual act of worship. He says that very specifically in Romans 12:1. So worship is a total lifestyle for the child of God. It is a total lifestyle for the born-again follower of Jesus Christ. And he says we are to not be conformed to the world, we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can understand what the will of our Creator is. What did He leave us on this planet to do? We're not just here to get a job, to grow up, get a family, get a job, get whatever education we get old, retire, and die. That is not the end in mind of a human being. We have a purpose, and it is overall to worship our Creator. That is why we're here. That's why we're living. That's why we're breathing, to be a worshiper of our God. And Jesus told us in John 4 that we looked at last Sunday, verses 23 and 24, that there is a true way to do that and there is a false way to do that. The true worshiper worships in spirit and in truth. The true worshiper is not caught up in the physical things of the world because God is not caught up in the physical things of the world. God Himself is spirit. In other words, He transcends the physical realm. So we must, in our lifestyle of worship, transcend the physical realm in order to truly worship Him. And He has revealed truth to us. He is the source of truth. He has given us truth in spite of deception. There is truth and there are lies, and we are to truly worship God by being people of the truth He has revealed. Number one, about Himself. Number two, about what He wants. Okay? He's not a distant deity. He is not a watchmaker that threw everything out there to run itself down and he steps back to not have any part in it anymore. He is actively involved in his creation. He is face to face with his creation and he has a plan for his creation. So to be true worshipers of God, we must be worshiping him in spirit and in truth. We looked at that last Sunday. Now, moving on today, understanding that God created us for us to consecrate ourselves to Him in worship, we must ask now, how do we actually do that? We understand the idea. How do we actively work it out? We have to move beyond the realm of the idea into the realm of action. How do we actually worship God the way He says to? Once we've made the decision to center ourselves upon Him, okay, we turn from the world, we turn to God, we set our sights on Him, we set our gaze on Him, we make the decision, I'm going to be centered upon You, God. Now, how do I actually do that? How does that play out in my existence? How does that play out in the life I live? Here's the question. How do I actually begin revolving around God the way a planet revolves around the sun? That's what it means to be God-centered. Okay? God is the sun. He's the center of our solar system. I'm a planet. How do I revolve around Him? What is the path that I have to get on to be in an orbit around my God? We're going to look at that starting today. Starting today, we will see that since worship is the total self-consecration, the total self-giving over to God, that's what worship is, that's how it is a lifestyle, God-centeredness. Since worship is that, okay, then actively loving God in obedience is the living expression of worship. Let me say that again. Starting today, we are going to see from the Scriptures that since worship is the total self-giving over of oneself to God, then actively loving God in obedience is the living expression of that worship. It's the living expression of God-centeredness. In fact, and this is what the world is missing in all its attempts to be spiritual, all its attempts to be religious, all its attempts to claim some kind of godliness, as Paul said, without the power itself of godliness. It is religious, it is spiritual, without the power of true godliness because of this. It is not connecting worship with obedience. You cannot separate actual obedience to God's Word from worship and still have true worship. You can't do that. You cannot say, I live for God, I worship God, I have some kind of thing going on with God, but I don't obey His Word and still call yourself a true worshiper of God. You can't do it. Now listen to me. I am not offering any gray area on this, guys. It is black and white. If it is not yours and my intention to obey everything in the Bible, we cannot, we are not true worshipers of God. No gray area. This is not a matter of opinion. You cannot walk out the door and say, my spirituality does not have to look like Bella's to be a true Christian. If Bella's spirituality looks like what's in the Bible, then yes, it does. It doesn't matter who it is that you set upon the pedestal. If ultimately his or her spirituality Christianity looks like what's in Scripture, looks like what's in Jesus, then you have to do that to be a Christian. There is too much talk about everybody's opinions. There is too much talk about everybody's preferences. Folks, Christianity is not up to you and me. We have a revelation from God. He has stated it for what it is. He has defined it clearly, first in Christ, then in His Word, and we have to align ourselves with it. If we do not, we are not Christians. If we do not, we are not worshipers of God. I don't know how to say that any more clearly than that. That's not my opinion. Listen to me. That is not a conclusion I have come to after thinking through all my ways of seeing things. That is the only acceptable conclusion you can come to after studying this book. There's only one way. We don't get to decide what it is for ourselves. Okay? Listen to me. The thing that got us in trouble from the beginning is what it states in Isaiah 53:6. Each one of us did something specific to separate ourselves from God. Do you remember what it says we did? Each one of us turned to his own way. You know what that means? That means each one of us followed our own opinion. That's all it means. Each one of us followed our own opinion. That is sin defined. Okay? Now, understanding all that in the introduction to what we're going to look at today, we can say this. This is what we're going to see. To have true worship of God, we must be lovingly obeying Him. Okay? So let's get into it. First, we have this question, okay, from this passage. In the life lived for God, what comes first? What is step number one? In the life lived for God, what comes first? Look at the man's question. Verse 28. One of the scribes approached. Okay, he comes upon the scene. Jesus is having a debate with some people who are wanting to challenge him. They're wanting to trip him up. So he comes on this scene. He heard them debating in verse 28 and saw that Jesus answered them well. So he asked him, which commandment is most important of all? Which commandment is first of all? Which commandment takes first place was his point. The man's point was simple, okay? Follow my line of thinking on this. His point is this. What one thing, Jesus, which God has told us to do, is more important than anything else He has told us to do? Now, what is the number one thing we need to get right, is what he's saying. What's the number one thing I need to get right with God? What do I need to focus on first? Now listen to me. With the right motivation, guys, that's a good question. Where do I start? I'm a new believer in Christ. Where do I start? Okay, I've come to the cross of Jesus Christ. I've come and bowed at the feet of Jesus. I've been forgiven for my sin. I am a new creature in the Lord. I have been born again. I'm not faking it. I'm the real deal. Now what? What next? What's first? What's the first step I take out for God? That's a good question. Where does obedience begin? Now listen. Again, I stress this, with the right motivation, that's the good question. The motivation can't be, what's the most important thing so I can focus on that and forget everything else? So that can't be the motivation in asking the question. And a lot of people are wanting to ask that question. What's the one thing I need to focus on so I can forget everything else? If that's your motivation, then you're blowing it before you ever get started. You can't come with that motivation. I don't know if that was this man's motivation. It doesn't say what his motivation was. He just asked a simple question. What's the most important thing for me to do? And if your motivation is to know where to start the life of obedience, then you are asking a good question. It's a critical question. And it has a good answer, which we're going to get to in a second. But the question needs to be, how do I actually begin living in worship of God? How do I actually start living out my worship? If I'm going to have a lifestyle of worship like the Bible clearly calls me to, how am I going to actually start doing that? That's what we need to take from this man's question. And spiritual common sense, guys, tells us that the answer must come from where? Where does the answer to that question come from? It's got to come from what God has told us to do. It's got to come from His commandments. That's why the man says, "What is the greatest commandment?" See, he understands that the answer, not only does the question center around the commandments, the answer itself must be a commandment. You see? And so Jesus gives us God's single greatest commandment. Verse 29 and verse 30. This is the most important thing. Now don't you think that ought to get our attention? Jesus Himself, God in the flesh, the Son of God in human flesh, God revealed to mankind through a God-man. He says, this is the single most important thing. In the whole kingdom, in the whole plan of God, in the whole scheme that God is revealing to mankind, this is